Hey there, dear listeners. Before we hop into the episode, I've got a little announcement for you. We have merch. Starting this Friday, November 8th, our subscribers over on Patreon will get early access to the first items in our brand new merch store over at magehandhighfive.com/store, with the rest of you getting access next Friday, November 15th. We'll have just a few items in the store at launch, with even more actively being designed, so watch this space for more. That's this Friday, November 8th for our patrons, and next Friday, November 15th for everyone else, all at magehandhighfive.com/store. And without further ado, on with the show.
Hello, and welcome back to Mage Hand High Five. I'm your Dungeon Master, Casey Pappas, and with me, ranked least to most likely to upset an ostrich.
What?
Okay, just like in general?
I cannot wait.
Just in general.
Okay.
First up, Max Weinberg.
Ooh.
Okay, hi. This is Max. I'm least likely. No complaints. I'm playing Stump Steenling.
I feel like Stump would very easily upset an ostrich.
Yeah, like, we already know how he is with birds and feathers.
Hey, you know, I mean, okay, so Stump probably comes out...
That guy would pluck an ostrich, no questions asked.
I feel like Stump is maybe as tall as just the legs of an ostrich, so it's just a wildly different experience for him.
Next up, Rowan McStay.
Hi there, I'm Rowan McStay, playing Salome Briar, and I would fucking freak out if I saw an ostrich. I don't know, I would be way too excited, but I think I would want to try to pet it, but I would try to refrain, but I think it could sense it, so you're probably right.
And last, Robin Langenhop.
Hi, I'm Robin Langenhop, playing Hayden Kincaid. One time, my mom reached her hand into an eagle enclosure at the zoo
and tried
to take one of its feathers. So,
whoa, that's so bold.
I have the genes to upset a large, dangerous bird. So
that's
happen.
Such a bad idea. Like, I'm glad your mom's okay and the eagle's okay.
Have you seen that video? I'm sure it's like a golden eagle, just like walking around on the ground, and people are like, new cryptid unlocked.
Because it's yes, like, absolutely.
It's like kind of, it's terrifying and kind of fluffy.
Much like myself.
I love a fluffy bird.
And with that, let's dive right in.
As an eagle does.
Great. On the last episode of Mage Hand High Five, after their separate journeys along the river's edge, each of our heroes awoke one at a time. Stump came to, finding the amulet now buried in his chest. Salome awoke and finished helping V before exploring their life leading up to their duty as guardian of the Wisps. Hayden remained at the river a while longer, encountering Lila and urging her to overcome her pride and return to the material plane. Once all three had awoken, they returned to camp to try to rescue Lila. Along the way, Stump realized another power bestowed by the Red-Eyed God, the ability to communicate telepathically. Using this connection, Salome urged Lila to return to herself. Lila awoke, reuniting the Briar family. When we left off, as this reunion occurred, Hayden received a follow-up call from Tiberius Jameson.
I think it's important to specify that follow-up call was in a giant group hug.
Oh, that's
not
what
just
I was,
during a reunion.
That's what I was going to say. Where you are now, you are all in a group hug. Hayden, you just heard Tiberius in your ear. You took Salome, said, hello, Tiberius Jameson. And now Tiberius is saying, enough games. Let's talk. Have you given thought to my offer?
Hayden has this stricken expression on their face and is trying to communicate with their eyes to Salome as much as possible while keeping their voice completely level and cool. And they say, I have been considering your offer, Tiberius, and I must say that it is severely lacking. If you know anything about me, You really need to sweeten the pot a little.
I think as Hayden is saying all this, not like out of a disbelief in Hayden necessarily, but just instinctually, I think Salome puts herself between Hayden and Maggie and Lila, like protectively.
God, Hayden just starts gesturing wildly to Stump, to Stump, to Salome, Stump, to Salome. Just chill for something.
In case you were wondering, Salome, it was 500,000 gold.
Shit, Stump, are you kidding me?
And an apartment. So I mean, that's almost like a compliment. No one's ever offered that much for me.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, should I just start running now or later?
And it's rent stabilized.
Oh God, is that Tiberius?
That's the real gift, rent control.
Hey, yeah,
the amenities are free. You can have as many pets as you want.
Salome draws a sword.
Okay, hey, put that back.
Continue.
Really, Tiberius, if you thought that money and a swanky apartment would be enough to sway me, you know I would have turned her in by now. And besides, I know who you are. What sort of assurances do I have that once Salome is handed over to you, that me and Maya would be in any way safe from retributions?
Hayden, you're not allied with Salome, are you? You are...
You want to make assumptions right now? You've already proven that you do not know me. I have my allegiances, and you and your organization have proven that you are a distinct danger to everyone I hold dear. So let me make my counteroffer to you now. And I'm trying to make it clear as possible to Salome, that my voice does not match my eyes right now. My eyes are expressing fear and concern and connection to Salome as much as possible, while my voice is clear and smooth and in control.
God, you see that same fear and love and concern right back at you from Salome, and also a sword pointed at your heart.
Well, real quick, I'm going to need you to roll a performance check.
Yeah, I had a feeling.
And then, depending on how this goes, you may need to roll either an intimidation check or a persuasion check.
All right, performance and not deception?
You know what? Yeah, let's have you do a performance check and a deception check right now.
Okay, performance first.
For two separate people.
That is a 16 performance.
Okay.
And that, I'm assuming that is for Tiberius?
I think performance is for Salome. Deception is for Tiberius, depending on what you're about to say.
Got it.
Oh, come on, Hayden.
Oh, no.
Yes, Hayden rolled low.
No.
Oh, no. Okay, that's a 2 on the die for an 8.
Oh, okay. No.
Okay. Go ahead and say what you need to say.
Well, you see the sword drop a little bit.
Yeah, I think with a 16, you're able to convey to Salome that you do not mean what you say. However, you might also convey that to Tiberius.
God. Uh-huh.
Here's my counter offer. I'll take the money. I'll take the apartment. And on top of that, I want my partner Winona to be free of all charges or investigations against her. My friend Stump Steenling and his entire family must be no longer pursued. My brother Rat must be extracted from the control of the Church of the Eternal Flame. And I want Grand High Inquisitor Lucine Courtois in a place of my choosing. Once you have proven to me that you will give me these things, I will bring Salome Briar to an appointed location and tell you when she's there.
Hayden, you don't hear anything for a minute. After a long pause, you hear a Oh, Hayden. It's a shame. I did get the wrong impression of you. I believed that I was speaking to the one who coldly dispatched the stranger, the one who sent Courtois running on her heels, the one who outwitted my men. But as it turns out, I'm just talking to a child. A scared child. And Hayden, I believed that you would have learned your lesson a year ago. You formed connections, Hayden, and your backstory I find heartbreaking. But what I find more heartbreaking is that you refuse to learn from it. Time and again, you put yourself in front of people who do not deserve your allegiance. Time and again, they're taken from you. And I wonder, Hayden, when you'll learn to think for yourself. When you'll learn to think of yourself. No, I will not be taking your counteroffer. And as a matter of fact, I will rescind my offer. I have many other little picture people that I can count on for that. Thank you, Hayden, for enlightening me.
You want to know what lesson I learned on that day a year ago when my family was slaughtered by a faceless killer hired by supposedly holy acolytes? I learned that those in power will destroy any innocent without a thought. So if you come after me and mine, I will take Salome Briar and Stomp Steenling and the rest of my friends, and we will dismantle your family and your organization, brick by brick and son by son, until there are none of you left. Do you understand me? Do not presume that I will take money to murder my friend. But I will take delight in destroying you. Have a nice day, Mr. Jameson.
I look forward to our next meeting. And the call ends.
Yeah, I'm sure you fucking do. I'm sorry.
Now I'm a target.
Salome's just standing there like...
That was bad.
Oh, Lord. Okay, yeah, no, Tiberius is not somebody you want to make mad, Hayden. Shit, 500,000 gold, you sure you don't want to take it?
I mean, well, okay, plans seem to have changed. I'm sorry I didn't warn you earlier, there was stuff going on, but I...
Okay. First of all, Aunt Lai, I killed Thaddeus. Second of all...
just a minor piece of updating you.
Does anyone have coffee?
Absolutely. Oh, darn, you don't need coffee.
Here, I'll make you something to calm your nerves.
Look, I've kind of been lying to you about how everything's been going in Threed for the last 10 years, so I was going to take a little bit more time to fill you in, but now that we're kind of down to it, I killed Thaddeus. He was bad. Threed was bad. Tiberius was bad, if not worse. And apparently, when did he make this offer?
Just after we walked into the cave.
Oh, yeah, that's bad timing.
Like within minutes of walking into the cave.
That makes sense. I see why you did what you did.
Everything's going on. Yeah, you understand.
We talked about it. We talked about the timing.
I get it. No, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Well, fuck.
I believe did just declare a blood feud with the Jameson family.
Oh, it's okay, honey. I already did.
Okay, good.
I mean, I think if you were aligned with me, I was already going to try to tear that damn city down.
Yeah, Lila sort of looks at you and says, I think really you've sort of positioned yourself in a blood feud that was already ongoing.
I didn't. Until now.
Sorry.
I think you're on this train, Stump.
Salome, where's Tiberius' home address? I believe I need to mail a brand muffin.
The trouble, Hayden, is that you would have to provide a return address.
Damn it. Are we immediately concerned about this?
I mean, I'm kind of curious to hear how the invasion's going. I think That would tell us how much Jameson presence to expect west of Threed.
I mean,
west of the mountain, certainly.
If we go back to Twin River, we can just make a couple calls and find out.
Yeah, I mean, we got to get to Twin River to get to Echo anyway. And it seems like this is going to be something we're dealing with either way. And to be perfectly honest with y'all, I think I'm just about done running from Jameson.
I was sort of under the expectation that we've all been on wanted posters since this whole expedition began. Now we just have... We have the freedom to fire back now without worrying about attracting attention, because attention has been paid.
You also mentioned Winona and Rat.
Yeah, they sort of know all our families now.
I know we have places to be, but we might need to... Are y'all open to checking on my people, possibly?
Yeah, of course.
We might need to get Rat moved.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Aunt Mags, Aunt Lai, Hayden's got a brother in Twin River who's been suffering for a while. He's been under some kind of magic control by the church. Y'all think you might be able to take a look at him? Maybe help him when we get back there? I'm sure the both of you need a lot of rest. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be inconsiderate asking. I think y'all might really be able to help.
Yeah, Maggie looks over at Lila. Lila is seated on the ground, sort of just catching her breath.
I don't want y'all to overdo it. I know y'all just been through hell and back.
She looks at you, Salome, and then looks at you, Hayden, and says, I can't promise nothing, except that I can take a look.
I appreciate it. I'll take all the help I can get at this point. I can count on my fingers how many people I trust right now, and, well, almost my whole hand is right here.
Well, shoot, I think we're just going to have to figure all this out. Aunt Lai, I think we need to get you some rest. I think the rest of us need to get the folks from Blackthorn all out of here. Lord knows they've been in here long enough.
Lila says, what about that one? And she points to a certain you-know-who, still tied up.
I think the three of us stay down here. Y'all get the rest of the town to safety. We'll deal with Aletna.
There are preparations as the town packs up what little they have. There's some hesitation as they begin to cross the threshold. Maggie is able to tie Lila safely to Daisy's back. And as Maggie sort of ushers Daisy off, she turns back to y'all and says, I know she's pretty horrible. We all lose sight of who we are. But she looks at you particularly, Salome, and says, I just be careful before singing a song of vengeance. Ours isn't really to pass judgment. Ours is just to heal and move on. Lila's and mine, at least.
Oh, I think that last statement kind of hits really hard, that separation between Salome and Maggie and Lila, or at least the perceived separation.
Mm.
And Salome says, what would you do with somebody like this? Aunt Max, I respect the hell out of you, but sometimes you act like... Sometimes it seems like you think that things aren't complicated, like everybody's got a song to sing and that everybody's redeemable. You really think she's got something else in her besides this?
I think we all do. I think you do.
That's awfully kind of you.
Salome, there's more to you than vengeance. You came back from Threed. She came back a little older. A little sung out.
A little smarter, too.
You could say that.
I love you, Aunt Max. I'll see you outside.
She starts to go. And then she says, truth be told, I don't know what I would do. I've been told many times my head's in the clouds, and Lila's is deep in the earth. And Salome, your mom's was the only one with feet on the ground. Sometimes.
Well, what do you think she'd do? She wasn't really afraid of death. If it was better to put somebody out of her misery, maybe she would.
I think she'd ease her journey forward, whether in this life or the next.
Salome just nods.
Maggie turns and begins plucking her banjo as she crosses the threshold and leaves the room.
Through this entire conversation, Stump, with Hayden's help, has been getting Aletna situated on a wall.
Jesus.
She keeps like slumping over.
She's always got to make me feel bad about this kind of stuff. Damn.
Still, look, get one of your special knives and just kind of stick the sleeve against the wall. She keeps
They're not physical. They go away as soon as they touch something.
But what kind of use are they then?
Casey, has the amulet affected Stump's like personality at all?
It's a good question. I don't think so right now.
Yet, at least, yeah. Okay.
I think right now, if anything, you're kind of a little like, ooh, you got a little pep in your step. Like, it's almost like your energy is, like, at 105%.
I've taken one of those gas station boner pills.
Oh, my God. Can you say that out loud one more time so people can actually hear it?
I've taken one of those gas station boner pills.
Oh, no.
Tom, for real men.
Rhino horn.
Hey, buddy, I've got something for you.
No.
Some Stump Zone creation, though.
Take the blue pill.
Well, Salome, you ready for this?
Yeah, y'all. I think we ask her whatever questions we need to, and at the end of it, will you let me take care of it?
Sure, but I'm going to be here just to make sure it does happen.
Salome, I'll leave this decision in your hands.
I slapped the shit out of Aletna to wake her up.
It's always a slaps with you, ain't it?
It's a proven method.
Yeah, she stirs. She looks at the three of you, and immediately you see defeat in her face. She says, so you've killed him then?
Honey, he was dead long before you tried to bring him back. If he was anything like you said he was, you didn't bring back Rockland. What you brought back was a monstrosity. And you took out half of Blackthorn Hollow doing it.
I would have taken out the world.
Do you understand that these people could have grieved with you? That they could have helped you? That they would have? I mean, hell, I know some of them. They would have welcomed you in. And instead, the last days of your life are a disgrace to Rockland's memory.
Are you going to preach to me or are you going to kill me?
We're going to ask you some questions and you're going to answer and then we're going to kill you.
And I have what reason to answer your questions, knowing that you will just kill me anyway?
Because you get to decide how you die. And I raise a sword, and briars come out of the handle and start creeping toward Aletna's chest. You answer my questions, and then you give me one good reason why I don't rip your soul out of your body and feed it to the vultures on the riverbank. You said that my family is expendable. Understand that you are expendable to me, and that my family are better people than I will ever be, and Threed has taught me not to be like them. Threed has taught me that every single goddamn one of you deserves exactly what is coming to you. So I will make your death painless, or you will suffer.
She smiles and says, so there isn't very much difference between you and I. Ruthless. Efficient.
Ain't half as arrogant as you. Plus, I got family still breathing.
She looks at Stump and Hayden and says, do you have any questions for me?
Was anyone working with you on this project, or was it entirely yours?
It was mine. A natural product of my research.
Who's funding your research?
A lot of it was independently funded from invested parties. Wealthy benefactors who were interested in my future. Nowadays, that is the only way to make any sort of progress in the field of science. Or any field, for that matter. Money.
While we're talking about money, who would be most interested in this book? And I pull out her notebook from the bag of holding.
You can burn it. If I'm dead, then this research dies with me. Well, except, I did have a research team while I was working in Threed, and when I heard the news of Rockland's... When I heard the news, I didn't have enough money for the trip. Rockland's trip was paid for. My money was tied up in my work. So I sold it.
To who? The Jameson boys?
Well, is there any use of selling off your work to anyone but the highest bidder?
You know what they wanted with your research?
I don't care.
You got any thoughts? You got any ideas of how this might be used by an arms dealer?
I didn't have much time to think on it. My thoughts were preoccupied.
You got time to think now.
Well, I suppose the manipulation of one's essence could be applied in a great many ways. Ripping the essence from someone produces a quite unmanageable creature, but manipulating the essence inside produces other results entirely. I was looking into the effects of the essence and its ties to magic and to power. We have a wellspring of power right within us and never tap into it. I believe that to be wasted.
When you say manipulate someone's essence, what does that mean?
Well, with the right amount of pressure, you could do anything. You could manipulate one's essence to be another wellspring of power for yourself. You could influence them, replace them, any number of things.
And that's all just fine with you. That's all just good and dandy because it ain't happening to you and yours.
Well, I believed that knowing about these things was the first step. If I didn't know these things, who would know them? Someone else? And if Jameson has this research now, they already own everything else. Besides, my world is gone.
Before he died, did Rockland know about your research?
You see a shadow cross her face. And she says, no.
If he knew, what do you imagine he'd say to you about it?
What is this for? Do you attempt to make me feel sorry? Make me feel guilty?
Why are you dodging the question?
Roll insight.
I might roll insight as well on this, if that's all right.
Yeah. Anyone who'd like to can.
That's a 22.
23.
With a 22 and a 23, this line of questioning is breaking her.
Dr. Moribund, I will make you an offer. For no other reason than to do right by my family. If you have any desire to be anything other than this, if you have any desire whatsoever to honor Rockland's memory instead of defacing it, I can help. If not, I will help you cross the river as peacefully as I can.
Leave me here.
So you want to cross?
I want nothing. Nothing waits for me here. And nothing waits for me there.
I think at that, Salome does soften a little bit and leans down to Moribund and says, darling, I'd like to believe that those we've loved and lost wait for us on the other side of the river. You can call me naive for thinking it, but one way or another, I hope he waits for you. And I hope you cross more peacefully than the people whose lives you took.
She may hear you, she may not. She sort of slumps down the wall and then just sort of lays on her side.
I reach out a hand to her forehead and cast sleep on her. And as she starts to drift off, I think I want to try to tap into this riverbank space and reach out, touch her wisp, and try to find memories of Rockland. Not necessarily to observe anything, just to give her something to send her to sleep with, to give her any kind of memory or last thought that's not him dead, that's not here, that's not this. And after that's done, I very quickly stab her through the heart.
Aletna Moribund, Dr. Aletna Moribund, dies. And dies with tears in her eyes and a faint faint smile. You are all in this cavern alone now.
Well, shall we go see the light of day?
Yeah.
Unless it's nighttime, then tomorrow?
Oh boy, I do not need to be in these caverns any longer.
You catch up with the group who are standing outside of the elevator.
Yeah, I was about to ask. We destroyed the elevator.
Looking at the wreckage and saying, oh, you see Maggie sort of peeking her head into the elevator shaft. And she looks up and says, well, hey, y'all.
Hey.
Howdy.
Hey, how's everybody with climbing? I pull out my rope.
Could you animate this elevator?
Maggie looks at you and goes, shit, I knew there was a reason we kept you around.
I know I don't look at it, but I'm kind of smart sometimes.
She
only sometimes
twangs a little bit on her banjo, and as she does, the elevator shudders. And she says, all right, as many people who can climb onto that wreckage.
It does say 15-person limit. So I don't know if you're...
Yeah, if y'all don't want to get the fire department called, they take a hell of a long time to get here from Twin River.
Yeah, I don't know if Maverick wants an OSHA violation.
Oh, honey, this place is filled with OSHA violations.
That's fair. Yeah, but I'm not part of those.
Yeah. You and a couple others all climb on, and you take trips. One of the last ones being Daisy and Lila, mainly because Lila insisted.
Yeah, I think we all go up last.
Yeah. Villagers go first, then y'all, and you are in that large circular room again with all of the split-off rooms of logs, grinding wheels, water basins.
Can we pick up 3 more sandwich bags of fire powder?
No, you have no sandwich bags. No, you have no sandwich bags. You all leave. You all
Aunt
leave Lachlan, the refinery.
Can we put some baggies to fill up?
Can I fill the remaining probably 495 pounds of space in the bag of holding with fire powder?
No.
You want to blow up the bag?
Aunt Mags, I know you got sandwich baggies. You always have snacks.
She says, that's so weird. I usually do. At this time, I don't. I don't know what's going on.
Come on, Aunt Mags. You're holding out on me, and I know it.
Hayden starts filling pockets.
She says, oh, shoot. You know what? You know what? I've got one.
Casey said that with such resignation.
Hey, your last sandwich bag.
All right. All right. You get one sandwich bag full of fire powder.
Amazing.
Stump, you be careful with this.
I knew you'd have a little snack bag on you. You always do.
I have to dump out the, like, tortilla chip dust first before I put in.
Damn, it's a good thing we got you out of here when we did. You were on your last snack.
You all exit Blackthorn Refinery. The massive doors at the front are open. Now the briars unraveling from them. And as they disappear, Lila takes a little bit of it, snaps it off, and sort of holds on to it.
You miss being a tree that much, Aunt Lila?
I mean, it's, you know, briars are an ingredient. You shouldn't let them go to waste.
Well, I think you got plenty of prickle without them, but that's just me.
That one cracks a grin. That one cracks a little bit of a grin.
I think I do sneak up, though, after she's walked away and just pluck a couple of thorns off of these briars and put them inside my holy symbol alongside Maggie's gray hair and the note from Beth.
As you do, there's a faint, faint glow. As you are exiting the cave into Blackthorn Hollow, the town itself, you notice the skies that were once clouded over as you were going in with the seemingly magical overcast. It's clearing up. The clouds are rolling away as if the threat to the Badlands has dissipated and there's no need for them anymore.
Well, ain't that nice.
As you roll out into Blackthorn Hollow, it's kind of a sunny day. People rush to their homes, and there are a lot more homes than people. Lila and Maggie turn to the briar wagon and say, shoot, well, we let the horse go.
You reckon Daisy could do it?
She puts her finger on her nose. Hey, Stump.
Yeah?
You're a dad.
Yeah, I am.
How handy are you with fixing up contraptions?
I'm not bad. I, you know, fixed up a thing or two in my day.
She says, you think you could find a way to get this hooked up to Daisy?
I could try to put something on Daisy. I might need a little bit of help to get kind of close, but I can conceptualize it if someone else has the hands for it.
Stump, you ain't telling me you're still afraid of Daisy, are you?
Stump, I got you. Daisy and I are best friends. Don't worry about it.
Daisy nips at Hayden.
Oh, Stump, come on.
Oh, you handle the harness stuff. I'll handle the big old fish there. Oh, sweetie baby, hey there.
He's just a big baby.
Daisy's got like this little almost pig-like snout that's just like,
oh, no. Oh, you're so good, girl.
Oh, look at him, Stump. You don't think he's cute?
Yeah. Look at you.
Look at that.
Look at that's a face if I've ever seen one.
Oh, Stump, you're fine. He only bites every once in a while if you make him real mad.
Now could be that while.
Hey there, Daisy. This is your new best friend, Stump.
No, don't. No.
Come on over and say hi, Stump.
No.
Daisy comes over to you, Stump. And
I use all of my rogue abilities to get away from Daisy. I use bonus action disengage. I use evasion, uncanny dodge.
Meanwhile, Hayden just lays down supine to roll around with Daisy.
It's like one of those like inflatable balls that you get into, and you could just kind of roll around while inside.
Oh, that's so good. Yes. Hayden's like rolled up into a little ball, rolling around inside Daisy.
You just hear muffled.
Not my responsibility if you throw up.
Daisy unfurls and Hayden just collapses underneath, covered in bruises. Like, that was the best.
Stump, you want to turn?
No.
You'd rattle around real good in there if you wanted to.
I'm aware.
Stump, you're able to tie up Daisy to the wagon. And with that, you're all ready to depart.
This episode of Mage Hand High Five is sponsored by Multitude Productions and their actual play podcast, Join the Party, as part of their Direct Creator Support Initiative. Multitude Productions believes that podcasts are for people, not corporations, and that the actual play community is full of incredible creators telling some of the most imaginative stories in all of entertainment. Multitude offers high quality and affordable production services and consulting to help podcast creators of any size capitalize on their own successes. Join the Party is an actual play podcast focused on genre pushing storytelling and celebrating the artistry of its cast and collaborators, as well as being a love letter to the art form of actual play. Join the Party has multiple seasons available now, with stories ranging from swashbuckling pirate tales in a world of plants and bugs to a weird summer camp beset by monsters. Here's looking at you, Camp Craven fans. Tune in every Tuesday for new episodes of Join the Party. And who knows? If we're your third favorite actual play, they might just become your first or second. We hope you'll check out Multitude and Join the Party at jointhepartypod.com or connect with them at Join the Party Pod on Instagram, Blue Sky, Tumblr, Facebook, and Twitter. Also, be sure to let them know that Mage Hand High Five sent you and that their Direct Creator Support Initiative is working. And with that, on with the show.
Do you love audio fiction stories like Welcome to Night Vale or Old Gods of Appalachia? Are you looking for your next favorite podcast?
Or maybe you love actual play shows like Critical Role, but don't always have time to sit down to a 3-hour show with hundreds upon hundreds of episodes.
Then you'll love The Adventures of Bud and Herb, a podcast that is made to binge with episodes around 30 minutes of non-stop, irreverent, yet wholesome fun set in an immersive fantasy world.
Follow along as best friends Bud and Herb, that's us, race against time to find an elusive, monstrous cryptid that has snatched a little boy from our idyllic little town of Mistress Glen.
I'm Bud, the deep gnome rogue.
And I'm Herb, the turtle folk barbarian chef. Each episode, we dig deeper into the mystery of the Cinderwood Walker.
A beast so terrifying, it can kill with only its stench. find out if we live to smell tomorrow.
Listen to the adventures of Bud and Herb wherever cryptids hide.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Once upon a time, in a county called Sublime, there was a child lost in the wood. Our Lives in the Wood is a horror actual play series exploring the tragic lives and stories of the citizens of Sublime County, orchestrated by one of the Stranger's most devious of servants, the Writer. Witness the everyday lives of those lost within this terrible wood and glimpse the hope shining dimly in the dark. Enjoy tightly edited episodes with immersive sound design and a rotating cast of guests playing a wide variety of indie TTRPGs, brought to you by Tales Yet Told, wherever you get your podcasts.
As you begin to head out of Blackthorn Hollow, some of the residents who've, for one reason or another, decided that moving on is the best have journeyed around the cart and seem to be coming with. Before you all head out, Lila turns back to the town. She takes from her pocket a small pouch. In it, she puts a couple of coppers, a couple of leaves. She seals it shut and dabs it with whiskey. And then she calls over Dart, one of the remaining townsfolk, the people who are staying behind, and gives it to Dart. And she says, "Dart, take care of this town and hold on to this. It'll help, and you'll be safer than if you didn't have it." Dart chuckles, and you almost, for a moment, see Lila flinch as if she were going to give Dart a hug. But instead, she turns briskly and returns to the cart. And you all put Blackthorn Hollow in your rear view.
Salome, why didn't you tell us that Lila had pouches? We didn't ask her.
Yeah, she only uses hers for, like, healing folks and blessing towns and stuff. She wouldn't have given you any for fire powder. She ain't as fun as Maggie.
Fine.
Hey, Lila?
Yeah?
That was quite an impressive little thing you did there. You mind, show me a little thing or two?
You want to learn?
If you're open to it. I started growing a little, less excited about my stranger ways in bounty hunting. It's starting to feel like it might be time for a bit of a new vocation.
Lila nods and says, "Well, if you think your path is headed this way, you need to know. It ain't exactly easy. It takes a lot of dedication, a lot of thought, a lot of meaning behind things, but if you want to put in a little bit of elbow grease, there's room in the world for another druid." And as you start to head out of town, Lila does it again. This time she asks for a little bit of hair from each person who is about to wander through the woods. She binds them in a bundle. And as she just so slightly soaks it in whiskey, she says, "All right, Hayden, here's your first lesson. The spirits like to drink."
They and I have that in common.
This makes it more eager to listen.
Would I recognize, just from growing up around all this, what any of these spells do? Or have I seen her do this before?
Oh, this is classic Lila shit. Lila shit.
All right, yeah, what do all of these different rituals do?
The one with the three pennies and the leaves is for prosperity. It's for good luck. The hair from everyone is an offering to the forest for safe passage.
I lean over to Stump and go, "Say, like I said, blessing towns and stuff. She was holding out on us, though. We could have gotten a little more fire powder.
We could have gotten so much fire powder."
"I'll be honest, I was sneaking a peek at the wagon. I'm pretty sure I saw some sandwich bags in there. We might need to swipe them."
She looks over and says, "What are y'all talking about?"
"Nothing."
"Just how good you are at healing it, Lai."
The journey through the bog is significantly less eventful. You see branching tree roots that have grown over the path are shrinking their way back. And you see every once in a while, Lila puts up a hand as if guiding the bog back into place. As you exit Blackthorn Bog, you see the abandoned town of Boiling Brook. The stream runs past it, and in the distance, you see the small bridge of Twin River. It's a quick journey there. As you're going, Lila is pretty weak. She doesn't seem to worsen, but she's slow getting better. Hayden and Stump, this doesn't hit you quite as hard, but Salome, you notice Lila opening up. She usually takes road trips pretty silent, or at least she did about 10 years ago. And now, occasionally she'll point out an ingredient on the road and says, "Hey, Hayden, why don't you go pick that up real quick? I'll tell you about it."
"Yes, ma'am."
And Maggie sort of nudges you. Solomon says, "Maybe you would have guessed. She's pleased as punch to see you again."
I think Solomon's been looking over at Lila and Hayden with a lot of love and maybe a little bit of envy and says, "You think so? Seems to be getting on with Hayden real well."
"I know so."
"Well, I wasn't presuming to think she was this happy about me, but I'm happy to see her too."
"Lila, how do you get wild animals to like you?"
"Well, there's a certain X factor you got to bring into it. So you just sort of got to work on your own sort of inner peace."
"I can't just like sing a song or cast a spell or something."
"No, stories would lead you to think that it's all about singing the right notes and wearing the right dresses. But it's more about, you got to tell the animal it's okay without telling them it's okay."
Stump was ready to yell "it's okay" into the forest right before the second half of that sentence.
That's so silly.
You just go, "eh." "Oh, okay."
You see a couple of elk like flinch. You arrive in the town of Twin River. People are hustling and bustling as if the auditorium did not just burn down last week. And as you ascend into Twin River, you see Daisy trotting up to strangers and snuffling them. Aww. And people having alternating takes of fear and amusement at a massive diredello.
Baby.
By the way, Hayden is walking the streets in their normal face.
Oh
no.
Whoa.
Shit.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, if that's the case.
I think Hayden takes Salome's hand and drops the disguise and goes, "This might be a poor choice, but if I'm on the run anyway, I might as well be on the run as me."
"Oh, dear heart, I'm so proud of you. Come here, let me fix your hair a little bit, though. You got a little dusty in the refinery." And he almost died. And I'll just fix up Hayden's hair, dust their shoulders off a little bit, and tuck a stray hair behind their ear. And as I do, just create a single rose behind their ear as a little accessory.
Oh, sweetie.
Stump sees none of this because he's just far ahead of Daisy, so he doesn't have to look at him.
Cool. We should probably redo my braids. There's been multiple transformations. I don't know what that does to the hair.
Yeah, here you go, honey. You hold Wink. I'll do your braids again.
Absolutely.
I give you Wink, and he's like death rattling, but it's purring.
Oh, all right.
Wink is in your arms. Is this what's supposed to happen?
Yeah, no, that's good. That just means he's happy.
Great. Love it.
There's a point where a long tongue extends out of your pocket, pulling Glitter Baby out, and Glitter Baby and Wink look each other in the eye and sort of just come to terms.
No, y'all could be best
Wink
friends.
Does
everything's
that thing
fine.
Cats do where their back gets really high and the tail gets all fluffy. Yeah. Put down the demon, Wink. Leave it.
Hayden, as you walk the streets of Twin River in your natural skin, you see the occasional glances from the other people on the street. And for the most part, though you might not expect it,
people look at you with a sense of wonder.
You know what, dear heart? If there is one thing that Tabitha Jameson taught me, that's Tiberius's wife, it's that if you just walk with confidence, people will think you've got your whole shit together.
You know, I've been able to do that in terrifying nightmare scenarios. I've never tried it in just walking around normal.
Yeah, no, it's wild. If you just walk around like you own the place, people will think you do.
You know, out of curiosity, since you mentioned, are there any people in the Jameson family that aren't horrible bastards? If we go on, if we do this blood feud for real, is there anybody we're sparing?
Oh, I wish I knew, honestly. I mean, the only one I don't know too well is Theodosius. There's Tiberius and Thaddeus, y'all already know about them. And then there's Titus, and he's wound tighter than a damn banjo string, but he's kind of a lot. And then Theodosius is kind of a wild card. I met him once or twice. He didn't speak a word to me, and then he sort of disappeared off the face of the earth. So who even knows what the hell he's up to?
You arrive at the large building in the very center of Twin River, Maverick's estate. The large clock tower in the middle of the estate looms down, and you park right outside of it.
Just a whole
big
entourage.
Old wagon. Yeah.
Is there like a bell outside or something I could like ring? Like a.
Oh my God.
To get his attention.
There's a large door knocker.
What?
Hey, here, Stump, I'll lift you up so you can get it.
Oh, I do it like six times.
Hey, LaMarche, we're back.
I'm right there with you. I love a good set of knockers. I wonder how Belinda's doing. Anyway, never mind.
What was that?
Nothing.
About that time, the door opens. The door opens, and a manservant opens and says, "Yes, can I help you?" Oh, I remember you.
Yeah, it's us again. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Master LaMarche says to not even vet you at this point. Just come in.
Oh, that's great, because we brought family.
You mind getting some coffee going for us?
Do not get any coffee going. Under no circumstance. Mm.
Okay.
Throw it all out. Make this a coffee-free home.
I toss him a gold coin.
Oh, I'm not accustomed to tips, but okay.
Yeah, I think Maverick just pays people a living wage.
Oh, I'm sorry. If that was offensive, I could take the gold coin back.
Oh, no, it's gone. I don't know where it went. Anyway, here you go, into the study. This manservant shows you into the study, you alongside Lila and Maggie as well. Maverick is sitting behind his desk, and he says,
"Oh, I heard you were back. I have eyes around town."
Stump walks in, arms wide, just being like, "Yeah, we did it."
Expecting that hero's welcome again.
Look at us. We're the best, and you know it.
Hayden, sensing the awkwardness, just starts applauding, trying to get it going. Just, yes. Dumb.
Mr. LaMarche, I would like to introduce you to the folks who saved most of Blackthorn Hollow. And then I go like I'm going to point to Stump and then gesture over to Maggie and Lila. Magdalena and Delilah Breyer, my aunts, and two of the best healers you ever will meet.
I don't know what I did to deserve this, but okay.
Very little.
Aunt Mags and Aunt Lila, this is Maverick LaMarche. He's sort of the mayor of Twin River, I guess you could say.
The mayor?
Yeah, in a manner of speaking.
You know, there's a mayor, and then there's the mayor.
Yeah, he's the mayor.
Yeah, he's the mayor.
One could say such things. Delilah, Magdalena, it is an honor to meet you. Please call me Maverick.
And they say, "Well, been a bit since we've been in Twin River." He says, yeah. So everything's okay. Blackthorn Hollow, it turned out.
Well, things were quite unpleasant for a while there, but we cleared out the issues.
I think we just fill Maverick in on, like, everything that happened.
I might leave out the part about the deal with the red-eyed god.
I do think that Dr. Moribund sold most of her research off to Jameson before she left, so even if we've seen the end of this in Blackthorn Hollow, I don't know that we've seen the end of this.
Well, they just keep owning everything, don't they?
Yeah.
But they don't own Blackthorn Hollow. And they don't own Twin River. And while I live, it'll stay that way. So,
hey, speaking of which, you heard anything about how Threed's invasion is going? You know, if they've been able to make any progress?
I haven't heard much. Roll insight.
Interesting. Very, very interesting.
If you want. You don't have to.
Sure. Yeah.
That's only a 12 on my end.
Okay.
Hayden got a dirty 20.
Stump got a 21.
Wow. Ooh,
fine.
Yeah, 21.
Maverick had a 19. So, Salome, you sort of take this at face value. Stump and Hayden, Maverick does not seem confident about his words when he says that. His fingers sort of twitch. He nervously handles his cigar. Seems like things might not be going well.
I'm going to just file it away for later.
Hayden gives a decisive, sure.
Maverick shoots you a look, Hayden, and then says, but you're back now. You have Lila and Maggie. Things seem to be going pretty well. I guess one more bit of business is that we have not heard any more information about your, he looks at you, Hayden, your, brother.
Fortunately, we have a couple of ringers that we've brought along. Magdalena and Delilah might be able to provide some, assistance in that regard.
I suppose, someone in, your friend's condition could use all the help he could get.
Where are they keeping him? Can we go see him now?
I don't have any meetings for the next hour, so why don't we, mosey?
Oh, you're gonna come with us? Oh, that's real sweet. Okay.
No time like the present.
Yeah, you head on over to the infirmary. As you're walking, Maverick is talking to Lila and Maggie. Maggie is talking and talking and talking. And it's just like, well, you know, it's been so long since I've been to Twin River. You know, it ain't quite like Echo, and I've never been to Threed. Which I've heard all three of these are just completely different worlds. And Maverick is like, oh, well, perhaps if you stay in Twin River for a bit longer, I can have you shown around. And Lila is in the back going,
Hayden, I didn't really think Maverick would be Mag's type, but you see something here?
That's a challenging idea.
Yeah, at that moment, you arrive at the infirmary. You walk in. Maverick goes over and talks to the receptionist. Says, we're here for Dr. Merrimack. And the receptionist says, oh, yeah, I'll let him know. And about that time, actually, Dr. Merrimack comes through the door, about to call another patient, looks over and says, Mav, what can I do for you?
Well, we'd love to check in on the patient that we left here before we headed out a few days ago.
Oh, he's stable for now. He's sort of in and out of consciousness at the moment, and so we are doing everything we can, but we haven't been able to make a whole lot of progress yet.
Well, I hope you don't mind, but I brought along my aunts. This is Maggie and Lila Breyer. They are both truly incredible healers in their own right, so I was wondering maybe if the three of you could take a look together, maybe y'all could make more progress.
You catch just a faint whiff of, as Dr. Merrimack looks at Lila and Maggie, as he's not really used to people bringing in their own healers. He's sort of used to being the physician, but he says, I'm not really accustomed to other people seeing the patient. And Lila steps forward and says, we're not here to treat, we're just here to look.
Doctor, I mean, if you would like to leave us with the extensive progress that you've already made, then of course, we'd be happy to defer. But if you think that some assistance might be helpful in getting any amount of progress going, then sure.
Oh, darling, maybe you do need coffee.
Dr. Merrimack sort of brushes himself off and says, right. Well, I suppose there's no harm in outside opinions so long as we all agree not to touch the patient. As you're walking along,
Maverick puts his arm around Dr. Merrimack and sort of ushers him over and seems to do just a little bit of damage control.
Yeah.
As you're walking down the hall, you pass other rooms in this infirmary. There are people being treated for all sorts of things. You see someone who has a rather large knife wound in their shoulder that they're being treated for. Another person whose head seems to be slowly inflating, and doctors are at the moment prodding it to see.
Oh.
You continue along until the room at the very end of the hall. Merrimack ushers you all in. Strapped to the hospital bed in the middle of the room is Rat. Dr. Merrimack walks over and says, "Well, Delilah, Magdalena, if you have any differing opinions, I haven't been able to make a whole lot of work of this so far." Maggie and Lila walk around Rat in separate paths, sort of looking over Rat. Lila stops at the stone in Rat's temple and looks at it. As Lila and Maggie examine Rat, there's about 4 or 5 minutes of silence. And then finally, ending this pause, Lila sighs, looks at Maggie, and says, "Oh, Hale, I think we need his help." Maggie sort of looks quizzically at her for a second, and then you see it dawn on her face, and she says, Oh, we need his help.
Who are y'all talking about? Bortons? I think he already left town.
Lila shoots you a look, Salome, and says, "Nobody needs that man's help."
I mean, I did, to be fair, but okay.
She says, "No." Salome, you remember anything about someone named Jack?
Do I?
You honestly, like, you're racking your brain. There are so many Jacks. You met many, many Jacks. You're not quite sure what they're talking about?
Any Jack in particular?
It's the type of thing where you would know what we were talking about if you knew. And I'm proud of Beth for not letting you in on this sort of part of the Briar history.
Was this something that happened after I left? Or
no.
Who's Jack?
Lila says Jack is, and Maggie says Jack is a jackalope.
Wait, what?
No shit.
What? If it was an animal, you should have told me before. I'm so excited. Let's go meet a jackalope.
Lila says Jack is an asshole.
Oh, wait, a jack asshole?
Jack is a fearsome critter, and not the normal kind of fearsome critter. Jack is a combination of spirit, critter, and man.
Oh.
The type of entity whose favorite pastime is luring passerby to their imminent doom.
And how will that be helpful?
Lila looks at the stone and says, "The stone has... The thing about magic is that, especially healing magic, it's important to know the meaning behind things. Sometimes the best way to undo a spell is to pry at it with its exact opposite. Cancel it out." She says, "This stone symbolizes control, symbolizes power over someone else. And so in order to counteract this, we need essence of something completely wild, something untamable, a spirit of the wild."
We might need that coffee.
Wait, hold on. Have y'all worked with Jack before? When I was around, how come y'all never told me about him?
Maggie says, "Oh, well, dear heart, we thought it best to not let you in on this."
Why?
Jack is a collector. He takes things. The things that are the most, he says, delicious to him.
Oh.
Are things that are irreplaceable.
Have y'all given him anything?
Lila says, that's not... Look, the only way, I think, to help Rat is to find Jack. And I think you'll need to convince him to part with one of his horns.
Oh, hell.
Do they grow back?
I imagine that'd be difficult to do.
It ain't gonna be easy. But we've been able to trade with him in the past. So you might be able to trade it off of him. You might be able to beat it off of him. It ain't gonna be easy. It ain't gonna be safe. But last we heard, he takes up residence near Bone Dry Gulch, about 2 days' ride east of here.
East, back out the way of Threed?
Back out the way of Threed.
I look over at Maverick. Is that going to be all right to travel, considering I got a 500,000 gold bounty on my head?
Maverick looks at you and says, I don't know if anything's safe. To be honest, the Jamesons aren't exactly going to come knocking when they arrive in Dwin River. So, I don't know if it's any safer to stay here.
All right, well, we can be careful, I guess.
As you say that, you hear a and smoke slowly begins to rise from the stone in Rat's temple.
Oh, shit.
What's happening? Should we get the doctor in here?
Dr. Merrimack comes over. You see him utter a few things, wave his hands, and the stone slowly fades back into the normal black that it is. He says, that's happened once or twice.
Any idea what it means?
My best guess, and perhaps he points to Lila and Maggie, you might have ideas about it as well, but you said someone implanted this stone in Rat.
Yes.
Any idea if it might be remotely activated?
Very possibly. I overheard a conversation about updating it.
I might be able to hold it at bay for now. But...
But we got a clock ticking.
He looks at Lila and Maggie and says, if it is what you say it is, and if there is a solution, we might need that solution sooner rather than later, seeing as how the last time the stone prepared itself was not as long ago as the one before that.
Say no more. All right, we know where we're heading. We know what we need to do. Y'all all right coming along with me on it?
Yeah, of course. Aunt Li, Aunt Mags, y'all think you could stay here with Dr. Merrimack and maybe hold some of this off until we're able to talk to Jack, make a deal, beat hell out of him, find a way to come back with one of those horns?
Lila says, I'll say the same thing I told Hayden. I can't make any promises, but I'll do my damnedest.
Yes, ma'am. Y'all got any idea how to find Jack, other than asking around Bone Dry Gulch?
Maggie says, well, one thing about Jack, like all jackalopes, he loves him some whiskey. And she pulls out the bottle that Lila used before, hands it over, and says, one thing about Jack, he's a bargainer. He's going to hit you hard, and he's going to ask for everything.
So we can't come off looking too desperate.
Maybe.
Well, hey, sounds like fun.
Stump, was there something that you wanted to do?
Yeah, Stump has been really quiet in this entire conversation because he's been focusing his mental energy on his psychic whispers ability at Rat to hopefully maybe be able to talk or get some insight into what's going on inside his brain.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that maybe that we're assuming we're both red-eyed god connected in a way.
Oh,
that there might be some connection there.
Oh, that's cool.
You close your eyes, and similar to before, you hear whispers in different directions. There are some whisperings in the direction of Salome, of Hayden, of Maverick, of the Briars, Dr. Merrimack. There are even some whisperings that pass you in the hall as nurses head towards other rooms. And you do feel faint, faint whisperings coming from Rat.
Stump kind of reaches out towards Rat to see if there's anything he could do.
You reach out. And as you near, the whispers get louder. Something's strange. These whispers, they don't sound like a person. They sound like something deep, hollow, is whispering from Rat. And as you reach out, it reaches out to you as well. Make a charisma saving throw.
Oh, God damn, shit.
That's a 10.
Oh, these damn charisma saves.
Stump, you begin to retract your consciousness as mental spikes sink in. You take 10 psychic damage.
Okay.
And you find yourself trapped.
Oh.
You are unable to resurface to your conscious level of thought. And you begin to hear whispers echo deep, deep into your mind. As you connect fully with this black stone. And that is where we'll pick up next time.
Thank you so much for listening to episode 28 of Mage Hand High Five, The Badlands. Want to show your support for our show? Want to hear us talk more about it? Then check out our Patreon at patreon.com/magehandhighfive for the tiniest microscopic $5 a month. You can get in on the down low and get a whole second extra podcast where we talk about the behind the scenes of the show. You get some behind the DM screen goodies from our DM, Casey Pappas, and you get early access to merchandise starting this Friday, November 8th at magehandhighfive.com/store. So now is the perfect time to get in on the down low and join our fantastic community. Thanks to Jacob Kirstner for our music and Shane Smith for our logo and our cover art. Check out our website at www.magehandhighfive.com and look for us all across social media. We're on TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Discord, and wherever else we may be. We're going to be there at Maychan High Five. Is there somewhere you want us to be? Let us know. Maybe we'll hop on in. Go to your podcatcher of choice and throw a 5-star review our way. I've been collecting them into this beautiful bouquet of affirmations, and they make me just ecstatic. And now I'm going to shout out all of our subscribers on Patreon. And y'all are giving me a challenge. Here we go. Wah-wah-wah, Sky Cow, Elephantasmo, Morgan Faber, Kathleen Ayers, Andrew, Kellen Wilbur, Trout Relief, Chronic Dreamer, Patrick Hickman, Debbie, Nathan Ritter, Chicken Too Tasty, Evan Noon, Avery Spars, A.M. Lovelies, Allison DeVelvis, Doss Carpenter, Diana Bacon, Al Forrest, Oki Lispar, Carrie Lee, Jonathan Gunn, Tyler Gardner, Eldisol, Jalatapang, Laura, Al, Chloe Otley, and Sammy Richardson. Oh, that new one's really going to make this hard. Here we go. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your foes about the show. You know what? Just tell your friends about the show. Let's just stick with friends this time. We all need a hug, don't we? And when you do, use the hashtag MHH5. And hey, how about a high five?